May we be helped to commence our worship of God this weeknight service by singing together hymn 911 to the tune Jonathan 356. 911. When saint to saint in days of old their sorrows, sins and sufferings told, Jesus the friend of sinners dear, his saints to bless, was present there. As members of his mystic frame, together meet to bless his name, while humbly at his throne we bow, as God with us, his present now. May we prove it. Hymn 911, tune Jonathan 356.
Holy Word of God, two portions. Firstly, from Isaiah, and we read down to the verse 20 in chapter 1. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 1, down to verse and including verse 20. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And then turning to Jeremiah's prophecy in the 31st chapter, we'll read the first 14 verses. Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 31, reading the first 14 verses. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, once again thou hast spared our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts this night. Ah, spared our unworthy lives, yes, we're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended and the door of mercy is not shut. And all to be found then as those beggars pour at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. And as we've read, ah, to know of a truth and feel it so, those wounds and bruises and putrefying sores are that which is in courses through our veins by our very conception and birth. For we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, and who can know it? But all to be brought to feel it. For we know that which is in our in us by nature, by our very birth, left to that, and no healing balm granted or sought for. It shall end in eternal death, will it not? How we have need of a Saviour. We have need of a physician. Oh, we plead then, do so work in our hearts mightily. They might be found amongst those, that by living faith, that faith given, as the Spirit leads and teaches into all truth as it is in Jesus, that there is help laid upon one that is mighty. There is that one by whom salvation has been obtained for his church, his chosen, his people. And all might be found amongst those that venture, are brought to venture on him, venture wholly, and let no other trust intrude. All found amongst those, yes, wrought upon by the Spirit, that truly have to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And perhaps even this night, one in that way, heal me. We know the hymn goes like this, heal us, Emmanuel, here we are. But oh, in that singular way, heal me. Grant that precious blood. All that might feel its healing power. Oh, Santa, my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, longing for that revelation of Christ to be made known unto them. That they might truly see one, a Saviour, a Redeemer. And so we plead then, do remember us each as we've gathered this night, and do be pleased to favour us with thy presence. For what is the house of God to me unless the Master there I see? And so we've been brought from those varied and various scenes, perhaps even those things upon the road which seem to hinder. But we each have those various hindrances, both within and without. But Lord, we thank thee that thou hast enabled us and brought us here. And we would not be unmindful of those that, they are in our own homes, detained for those lawful reasons. Go to them where they are. And likewise, Beryl, we think upon her and that which, even following a fall this afternoon, oh, do remember her there in her home, we plead. And do favour her with thy presence. Grant her, Lord, we plead, a token of thy love and thy mercy. But each one that may be, in their home, those duties that have to be performed, perhaps their heart goes up unto thee, but all thou art not confined to place or means or mode, and thou canst go to them each. Go to them each and satisfy them with thy goodness. Thou canst go to them each, and blessed be God, to be pleased so to do. They might taste that thou art gracious. Taste that thou art gracious. If it could please thee, granted a little sip from the well of salvation, a crumb that may fall from the Master's table. And so we plead for each one, whether here or absent. But we would thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours. And can we not say hitherto, each one of us in our measure, it has been hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And may it please thee, we might be enabled by faith to venture on and say, He who hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And so to remember each one we plead, and we also will bear before thee the young, the children, the little ones, the very little ones, Lord, each one of them, and those that have now come to that age, and perhaps in that way it is a milestone. But Lord, we plead for them all, and whatever their age, may they be able to cast their burden upon thee, seek thy face in all things. And all we thank thee that thou didst say unto thy disciples, suffer little children, yes, even the little ones, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. So whether they're very small, those that are beginning to grow up now, and their individual identities and characteristics begin to show, and those that now are on the verge of going forth into life, so we plead for them all. But all may they prove in their younger years that thou art a helper of the helpless, and that thou canst make mountains flow down at thy presence, and those dark places light, and those rough places plain. Oh, do be unto them that one that governs all their affairs, opening doors where perhaps it seems every way is shut, or perhaps in that way shutting doors which perhaps our old nature says, well, we'd like to go this way, but what a mercy when they let us close up a door, and we can look back, some of us can we not, and say, what a mercy it was, that we were prevented going this way or that way. And so to remember them each we plead. But all each of us, whether in the midst of life, and those older, Lord, may our government of all our affairs rest upon thy shoulder. And we thank thee for that word that declares if we're inhabitant of Zion, certainly it will be so. The government of our affairs, if we should be one of those favoured inhabitants of Zion, the poor trembling worm Jacob's, thou wilt govern all their affairs, for that government is perfect, it is increasing, and it shall know no end. And we read, do we not, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform thee. So we plead, to take us each in hand, whatever our age, and govern all that pertains to our lives. Manage all by the way unto the end. And do remember any that know what affliction is. And we think of one another throughout the hills of Zion that walk in affliction's path. Oh, do sanctify all the means used for their good. And may it yet please Him. That it might be through affliction, yes, something which is bitter to the flesh, but it may yet be that which is sweet to the soul, sanctified affliction, when perhaps that poor one can say, before I was afflicted I went astray. They can see the reason for the affliction, thou hast used it for the good of their never dying soul. And so to remember any in their affliction. And do remember, we plead Zion, these dark and evil days, we're ministered and brought low. And thou knowest those things which have taken place here, and Lord, we're brought to tremble, and we have to plead this, hold thou me up. How we have to see that we have need of keeping every step of the way, every moment of our lives. But oh Lord, we plead then. As Zion is ministered and brought low, many have turned aside, they've forsaken the old paths, there's rebelliousness, but oh, what a mercy if thou should yet bring back this one and that one, for thy word does declare for the rebellious also. And as we've often thought of the lines of that hymn, rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfil. But oh, we play then. No heart is too hard for thee, and thou canst turn the heart of man, and make man willing in the day of thy power to do that which is pleasing in thy sight, to walk in thy ways. Oh, we play then. Thou canst bring back, yes, the wayward. Thou canst bring back the prodigals. And all we plead, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places. Whether it be prodigals or those that have never set foot in the house of God. But oh, what a mercy if such a character should be found around these parts here, and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and thou hast a purpose of grace toward them. Hasten that time when they will come in like those Greeks of old, with us, Sir, we would see Jesus. And so as we think upon Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And all as we come to the time of the year for making engagements for a year, another year ahead of us. And a year is a long time, is it not? And yet we do these things in the fear of the Lord. Grant help to each one, and certainly our dear friend and brother at the desk, and all that that pertains to the obtaining thy servants here. But all we would do it in the fear of the Lord. We plead that thou wouldest guide us and govern us in it all. But do remember, we plead, this guilty land and nation. We see such confusion now. And is not that confusion brought about because of sin? It's brought about because of abomination. As a confusion of face, is there not? Oh, we plead, have mercy upon us, and turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. But the law is slacked. Man does what pleases himself in his own eyes, and yes, we know the law countenances it. But all we think upon the young, and what confusion it is causing in the young. Where are the boundaries? Where are the boundaries? Without boundaries, it is confusion. And so we plead. Do remember parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, enable them to counter those things which are promoted in the schools. Oh, give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we often think of that word in James' epistle. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Perhaps at times they know not how to speak or how to answer. But, O Lord, do grant each in that time of need that to speak. Yes, even unto their young. And oh, may it please even the young might be ever upon their watchtower. Even the young in their young years, there might be implanted in their very heart and their soul the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, do plant it in their hearts, we plead. There might be that light unto their path, that which directs their steps, that which keeps them in a time of temptation. And so we plead for them. But oh, is this guilty land, oh, do have mercy upon us. And we thank thee for thy mercies and favours towards us still, as we see once again the crops of the earth now hastening towards the time of harvest. And we thank thee that thou hast given the latter rain, which is most beneficial, and certainly when a crop is coming towards that time, for the swelling of the grain, for the filling out of the ears. And so we plead, do grant unto us a thankful heart. The world murmurs when it rains, the world murmurs, but all we thank thee that thou dost send the rain in its season, both the former and the latter rains. And so do we please in due time to grant a gathering in, suitable weather to gather in, earth over both man and beast, and where the world will take all these things for granted or put it down to fortune, luck and chance, may we each put the crown upon thy head. May we each, yes, praise God from whom all blessings flow, certainly as regards the supply of our needs, that which is necessary for our bodies. And so as thou hast done in the years past, may we likewise see it again and likewise praise thee. Bless the hand that has given and has given again and again to such an undeserving people, an undeserving nation. But we thank thee for that promise that thou hast in thy word, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. Oh, we thank thee. And thou hast maintained that promise. We know there are those places in the world where there are those times of drought. Even in this nation there have been those times and seasons. But the world in general has never been without a harvest. There's always been a harvest gathered in this nation or that nation. Yes, we deserve it not. But Lord, we plead, stir us up. We might be found amongst those, that remnant, that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. And we believe it is because of that remnant. Thou dost look down upon us still in mercy, and so favour us with many blessings which we receive of thy hand. But all we read in thy word, man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Oh, may it please thee now, we plead. Break the bread of life unto us. May thy word be meat and drink unto us. May be that which lifts up weak hands and confirms feeble knees. Oh, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed, with dainties such as angels have, and with the children's bread. But oh, we would venture to plead. Oh, satisfy us with thy goodness, and send none empty away. Oh, may we see a precious Christ through the lattice of the gospel. Oh, may we see one, and make thyself unto each one of us the altogether lovely. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And so do remember us now. Help us together. Bless us each together. Do us each good, and send none empty away. Pardon and forgive in our many, many sins, our often failings, our constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin-atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn 832. Hymn 832, June Dennis, 26. The men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whate'er they want. Their souls shall dwell at rest. His secrets they shall share, his covenant shall learn, guided by grace, shall walk his ways, and heavenly truth discern. Hymn 832, June Dennis, 26.
Thank you.
Prayerful attention, turn to Jeremiah's prophecy in the 31st chapter, and I'll read the whole of verse 7, but it was that last clause that rested upon my spirit, or the last part of that verse. But verse 7, "For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel." Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 31. I'll read the whole verse, but it was that last part. "For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel." So that petition at the latter end of that verse, "and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel." What a mercy if we're found amongst those loved with an everlasting love, as that third verse declares. But oh, what are we by nature? I turned to it this afternoon and my mind went to the Psalm 14, where we read this: "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That is the word of the Lord declaring what we are by our very conception and birth. There's that which has separated us from God. Yes, as it separated Adam in the day when Adam fell, and likewise it separates us. It separates us. I've never read in the house of God in a service before that first chapter in Isaiah. As far as I can remember, I haven't. But all what we read there, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Yes, that's how we all are. We're amongst those that have rebelled against God. Yes, and as we read, why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness. No soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Yes, and then it speaks, your country is desolate. And well, it speaks of a very desolate people, does it not? And that is how we are by nature. The desolation of original sin and the desolation of what our sins have added to that desolation as well. Yes, did not one of the poets put it like this? O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Pregnant cause of misery. But all that word of hope in that chapter in Isaiah, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Well, those cities were destroyed, were they not, because of their sin? And I believe this also speaks as regards everyone, that time shall come. If we're found in that day of judgment, still in our sins and in our iniquities, our everlasting destruction shall be our portion. Not an annihilation, but an eternal death. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And so there is this in the word of God. These words to warn, to exhort, stir up. And so the word of the Lord goes on. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord. Have we heard the word of the Lord? That which has, quickened us. That word which has brought us to realize what we are by nature. That is, those wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Until the word of the Lord shows us what we are, is that light that enters in and reveals to a poor sinner his utter need, his utter destitution, his desolation by nature, and what he has need of, that he has need of a Saviour, he has need of a Redeemer. And what a mercy if that poor sinner is brought like that verse we read in that same chapter. Come now and let us reason together. That one, the foulest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. The Marys and the Manassas, the black but comely because they are loved with an everlasting love, and they are drawn by those cords of love. Ah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ah, that one may willing in the day of his power, that power when the Lord speaks, the word enters in with power to change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. For we then read this: if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Ah, yes, the word of the Lord, not the word of man. Isaiah was the Lord's servant, the prophet of the Lord. And these servants of the Lord, the prophets, were given that to speak. And it's written in the Holy Writ. It's the word of the Lord. But blessed be God. Ah, yes, and now turning to that 31st chapter in Jeremiah. Ah, there's a people, a small remnant. The people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness, I draw thee. Ah, do we know anything of that drawing? Well, if we know anything of that drawing, we shall know a little what we read in that same chapter. Ah, that remnant. They have been brought, yes, they are brought from those varied corners of the earth, of every nation, kindred and tongue. So it will be. For as we read concerning what the Lord spake, and it's in John's Gospel, I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. No doubt about it. All that the Father given me shall come to me. And so there will come that time the Lord will gather them. They won't gather themselves. Ah, sheep do not gather themselves when they go astray. It needs a shepherd to bring them back. And neither will that a sheep of Christ's fold. They have no power to bring themselves back. They have no power to change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. But I will. I will bring them. The certainty of it. Ah, yes, the certainty of it. I know my sheep and they shall hear my voice. And it will be like this. I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Ah, I will work. Satan can't hinder it. He will try to frustrate it and hinder it. And he'll do all that he can to hinder it. And that poor sinner that has heard the voice of the shepherd, that has been drawn from this the north country, or gathered from the coast of the earth, they shall find them warfare and conflict. For Satan will be stirred up, that one that once served them as it were, totally, wholly. Yes, servant of Satan, whether you like it or not, we were each servant of Satan. Going back to that psalm, as we said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And the conclusion was this: they are all gone aside, they're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we're all servants of Satan. Ah, yes. And what a mercy if we can look back. Some of us now we can say preserved and kept in Jesus when our feet made haste to hell, when we were servants of Satan. But kept by the power of God in our unregeneracy. Our lives were preserved in our unregeneracy from the foolishness of our youth, our younger years, when perhaps we had no thought of eternity and it never crossed our mind regarding the danger in this or that. But now we look back and see, yes, we're a moment, a step perhaps from being taken from time to eternity, but preserved and kept. Until that time. Preserved and kept because that love was set upon. That love was set upon this one and that one. And that love will not forsake them. That love will in time draw them. And so they're gathered. That drawing and gathering is one and the same that they hear the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd gathers them from the coast of the earth with them, the blind and the lame. Oh, does that sum up how you have been brought to feel amongst the blind and the lame? Brought into a way which you've not been heretofore. Yes, that one that was once that servant of Satan. He's brought out of that broad way into that narrow way. Brought into that narrow way. And he gropes a wall like the blind, yet there's this wrought in him, weeping and supplications. Perhaps you say, well, I've prayed many a time. And some say, yes, we look back to our younger years and perhaps we were taught to pray as a child. But oh, what a mercy when we're brought that need concerning our never dying soul and our desperate need as a sinner. That will bring forth in measure that what we've read of here, weeping and with supplications. Weeping and supplications. Yes, that broken heart and a contrite spirit which we will not despise. Yes, sacrifice and offering, we read, do we not in one part of the Word of God? Sacrifice and offering. The Lord God takes no delight in that. But a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. So do we know anything of having a broken heart? Do we know what it is then to be that one blind and lame? What a mercy. The shepherd, that good shepherd and bishop of your soul and mine will gather up that lamb, that blind one, that lame one, gather up in his arms and lead them forth with that right way. Lead them forth in that right way that they might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. No doubt about it. Sometimes we look back and perhaps he's here a little, there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept. We've been gently led along. Some perhaps like the apostle in a moment of time. Or like the dying thief in the last moment of his life. But nevertheless, each one brought to feel their uttermost need, their utmost need upon one to lead them, the shepherd to go before them, the shepherd to lead them forth for that right way. The shepherd to open the eyes of the blind and enable the lame to walk. And as we read, do we not, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. The woman with child and her that travaileth. Yes, well we know mothers when they're heavy with child, it is it is not so easy to get along the heavier, the nearer that time comes, when it draws near to that time of the birth, the giving birth. But ah, do you come like that woman then? Yes, but it is your burden of sin. With this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Oh, you're coming like that one that she has spent her all. Spent her all with many physicians and rather grew worse. And so the burden gets heavier. The burden gets heavier. And you feel more and more lame and, as it were, and cannot get along. But what a mercy. I will lead them. The Lord will lead them. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. Will I lead them? And the poor trembling sinner, that trembling worm Jacob, that worm of the earth, you know what it is then to look up. Not look to self, but look up. And the Spirit will enable him to look up. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. Will I lead them? And I will cause them. Blessed be God, is not left to man. Man, some talk about free will. As if you have power to draw yourself, to gather yourself, and to lead yourself along and work out, as it were, in that way, work your own salvation, save yourself. But the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, they shall come with weeping and with supplications. I don't often refer to that Psalm 107, but it begins with this: then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Have you been brought there, poor sinner? Yes, that psalm, I've often thought upon that psalm. I trust in the measure. It is that which speaks of the path of a child of God. But it begins, does it not? Yes, in that way of giving thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. That mercy towards a poor sinner. That unmerited favour towards a poor sinner. Because his love with an everlasting love, yes, that love which was set upon him before ever the world was formed. That love was upon him, yes, before ever he came forth from the womb. And so he's gathered, redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. But you may feel at times, yes, it's often that warfare, you think, well, have I been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? Yes, the elder, we read in the Word of God, take note of this, the elder shall serve the younger. But at times it feels like the old man of sin prevails over the new man of grace. And especially when you find there's a great company comes out against you, and it's like the storm against the wall, and threatens to destroy every faith and every little bit of grace there is that you perceive to be, if you perceive any at all, within your very soul. But it's not left, as I said a little earlier, it's not left to you. The Spirit will lead you along. That well of water springing up unto everlasting life will keep your soul alive. That one that has redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and and you find perhaps now it is that wilderness. The world is a wilderness now instead of a place of attractions and bright lights and things which captivate the mind and the spirit. But it's now a wilderness, and you walk in a solitary way. And finding no city to dwell in. but hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them, take note of this poor sinner, and he led them. Not they took themselves and had to make their own way. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. They might go to a city of habitation. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Yes, and perhaps you feel at times without lameness you're stumbling along about those everlasting arms. The everlasting arms. That one that is now your refuge. Your refuge and strength. You'll have to plead again and again, "Hold, bow me up, and I shall be safe." Undertake for me. Show unto me thy salvation. Say unto my soul, "I am thy salvation." I believe the Spirit will put short petitions in their very breast, and they'll come oftentimes with those small petitions. Blessed petitions, you see, read them in the Word of God. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Say unto my soul and thy salvation. All these small petitions, but they're wrung out of the very soul. I'll cause them to walk by the rivers of water in the straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. You won't make shipwreck of faith if you've been led by the blessed Spirit, taken in hand by Almighty God. Yes, at times I know from my own experience that at times you think, "Well, I'm stumbling. Shall I make shipwreck of faith?" But that's the way we perceive it sometimes. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight, and at times the way seems dark and mysterious to us. Dark and mysterious. But the Word of God declares here, "I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in the straight way." When you think of the children of Israel when they went through the wilderness, it wasn't what man would call a straight way. And the Lord led them forth by that right way and brought them to that promised land. We have to prove this, that the Lord's thoughts are not as our thoughts, and neither are his ways as our ways. But as I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. Yes, many a time the Lord's people feel they make shipwreck of faith. But they prove this, that one that has taken them in hand, watched over them in their unregeneracy, wrought that in their heart savingly, yes, breaking their hard heart of stone and giving their heart of flesh those new and living desires. They prove this, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake." Yes, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But those days of darkness which shall be many, yes, they are many at times and we find it so. But sometimes we trust we can say, as we're brought even to this day, "It has been hitherto hath the Lord helped." Yes, "hitherto hath the Lord helped. They shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Oh yes, the blessed truths we've read tonight, and those certainly that 31st chapter of Jeremiah is a precious chapter indeed. We could have read it all, but it was the time doesn't allow it. But all what we read in that chapter further down. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant when I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant my covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this covenant, this shall be the covenant I will make with them, with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. Yes, that accords with that as regards what Jeremiah penned. Likewise the word of the Lord. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ah, that one led in that way. The Spirit revealed to them Christ, the Lamb of God. He revealed to them that one that's a sinner's friend. The Spirit revealed to them that one that offered himself freely in their room, place and stead. That one that has bought them with a price. They're precious in his eyes. And their names are inscribed upon the palms of his hands. Yes, that the Spirit will reveal to them. That one that by the offering himself satisfy the law in their room, place and stead, bearing the sword of divine justice. Yes, I often think of that word in Zechariah. What a mercy, what a mercy, when that poor sinner, yes, that one that was brought out of nature's darkness and led along by the Spirit, and Christ is revealed to them. As we read in Zechariah's prophecy, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That's looking upon Christ, one suffering in their room, place and stead, that one bearing their sins. Yes, he bore the sin of many, but in that personal way, bearing their sins. By faith they are brought to believe in that one that was, yes, that was spotless, pure and undefiled, but made sin. That one was made sin, he who knew no sin, and their sins were laid upon him. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Ah, yes, that spirit of grace and supplications. The Spirit revealing to them the preciousness of Christ. And the Spirit revealed to them and making them to feel by faith the efficacy of that sin atoning blood. And the Spirit will reveal to them that one who conquered death, hell and the grave. Yes, and by his rising again for their justification. Raised again for their justification. That one that now sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Yes, risen indeed and ascended on high. Ascended on high. And that one that has ascended on high, having accomplished that in their room, place and stead. His eyes are ever upon his people. and his ears were ever open unto their cry. Ah, yes, and that one that's been brought in that way, with weeping and supplications will I lead them. It's not just that moment of time, but to the end of their days. For he will find, like all the saints in glory now, it was through much tribulation. It was through much tribulation they shall enter the kingdom. Ah, but not forsaken. They prove one to be a comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And they prove the one that is the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. So those weepings and supplications are, yes, a beginning of them under that burden of sin, but down to the end of days. And they will prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. They will prove there is one, the helper of the helpless, a strength of the weak, when they prove there is one that is everlasting strength. They will prove that one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Yes, we know it is a pathway of sorrows, but there's a balance in the clouds. The day of adversity is set over against the day of prosperity. There's times when the harp is hung upon the willow, and those times when the Lord enables a poor sinner to take it down and to come once again with a bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Ah, what a mercy if we're led into that, whereby we read in that Psalm 103. Yes, that Psalm 103. Oh, may that be each one's portion. May the Lord be pleased to work it in each one's heart and in their soul's experience, where they can come like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You read the rest of that psalm at your leisure. Ah, when that poor worm Jacob is led along, he knows at those times when he feels everything is against him. Ah, yes. Our natural understanding cannot see the end from the beginning. Like dear old Jacob, he had to declare this, did he not? All these things are against me. But oh, he knoweth our frame. Ah, that one that was tempted in all points because we are yet without sin. That's that one that will lead this each poor sinner along, bring them home to glory at last. For he knows our frame. He took part of the same. Oh, blessed be God, he took part of the same. Not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. Ah, yea, if we're found amongst those redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Ah, that path which he hath appointed for us each. Yes, it will bring at times us into those spots and places where we're no like Jacob. All these things are against us. Ah, and perhaps the old adversary will say, well, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath in anger shut up his tender mercies? And the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And then regarding the generations to come, the younger generation, and his righteousness unto children's children, and to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Ah, as for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more, but the mercy of the Lord. Yes, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. Oh, when that poor sinner, redeemed from the hand of the enemy, he knows a little about that rock of ages. He knows a little about that refuge. The eternal God being his refuge and his strength. Ah, and he knows a little about this, coming back to that, whereby he knows our frame. Remembers that we are but dust. He comes where a poor sinner is. And he lifts up the weak hands and he confirms the feeble knees. And that poor sinner in that way of darkness, he sees he's walking the footsteps of the flock. And the shepherd is going before him. The shepherd is going before him. The shepherd's not forsaken him. He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Ah, the beauty of it. The wonder of it. The wonders of redeeming love. That this, yes, this one, the eternal God, we believe in this, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but truly did condescend to be a man and die. Truly did condescend to be a man and die. Ah, this one that will gather, will keep, and bring home to glory at last, but the time has gone. And then we read, do we not, regarding those blessings. Those blessings regarding the wheat and the wine, etc. Cares for his flock. My mind goes to that, just for a moment, to that Psalm 132, I believe it is. But oh, what a mercy we found amongst those inhabitants of Zion. Ah, yes, those blessed inhabitants of Zion. And compared to what the world thinks he has puts a value on. What is that compared to this? If we're found amongst Zion's inhabitants, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. I will abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. Ah, the world have their troubles, but where do they go? Where do they go? Ah, they go to those things that can't help them eventually. Can't do them any good. Take those things that the world, yes, well, in that way they're their gods. They're their gods. But they're only things of men. But oh, what a mercy. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Ah, yes, the eternal God is our refuge. And as I spoke to one even the other day, and he knew what it was to be in that place of darkness. Said he was cast down. Yes, and felt the enemy in that way at his right hand. And it was a day of darkness and distress. But oh, what a mess. We have such a portion of this in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down? When the Lord, that shepherd, comes unto a poor sinner in his cast down condition, when his face seems ready to fail him. But oh, the eye of faith looks up. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. He was the health of my countenance and my God. Ah, what a mercy. Yes, what a mercy. The eternal God, the refuge and strength of his people. And when in those times and sins, such as the psalmist there, faith in exercise. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We leave our rambling remarks there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 968, 968, June St. Bees 494. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet I will remember thee. Hymn 968, June St. Bees 494.
Save us, Lord.
dear Lord, to be pleased to bless thy word. Ah, may thy word have free course and thou be glorified. And so we plead thy blessing upon that which is of thee. Cover with the mantle of forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased now to take us each to our destinations in peace and safety. Watch over us each in the pathway of life. Oh, may we be found amongst those loved with that everlasting love and drawn by that love. Yea, brought into that narrow way which leadeth unto life. Oh, knowing what it is to be that beggar poor at mercy's door, lie such a wretch as I. But all wilt thou not, we believe thou wilt, such a one. Thou wilt reveal thyself in all thy beauty, in the fullness of thy love. And shall not Christ then be made precious, precious indeed. And so we plead, do take us each now, watch over us, manage all for us by the way unto the end. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.